But I would not preach every verse in every psalm, but I'll preach out of every psalm. And so turn tonight, we are in chapter 3. Now, this morning I preached on taking a risk and how being saved, you know, when you come to be saved, that's a risk. It's called faith in the Bible, and God gives you the faith you need. And tonight I'm looking around at all these empty seats, and I'm thinking, and boy, I've heard this, the great singing and the good fellowship, and I think about how people, even though this, and by the way, the numbers are just going to keep going up on this COVID thing, and only 13 people have died from it in York County in all these months, and some of those are questionable, but all these seats, if people would just take a risk, they could still be social distanced. There's room for two more people, and one or two more, and one or two, two or three, and two or three, two or three, two or three. But people have decided that they've got a comfort zone. I understand some people are sick. They can't. Ron shouldn't be here. Missy shouldn't be here. Your wife shouldn't be here, and things like that. But most people, we miss a blessing by not taking a risk to believe God. Just believe, it's a risk to believe God. And so, I as pastor, I look at empty seats and I think of the people that miss a blessing by not just taking that step of faith and taking a risk. Now, they'll do it to go to the grocery store, and they gotta do that, I know, and they'll do it to go to work, and they gotta do that, I know. But sometimes faith requires a risk. So let me encourage you, if you're home watching, I'm glad you're watching, but there's a lot of empty seats down here, and you could social distance or whatever you want to call it, you know. And that's too much social distance. You're a long way off in there. Amen. But if you can, if that's what you got to do. Sister Shirley Barnes in the hospital, I bet she's watching it. Is she on there?
I can't see it.
Oh, okay. But I bet she is. She's usually watching it. Others that are sickly are watching it. So God bless them. But I want to talk to you, and I'm going to go through the book of Psalms. And last week we did Psalms 1, we did chapter 2, and week before that we did chapter 1. And chapter 1 we talked about the blessed man. And then in chapter 2 we talked about why do the heathen rage. And boy, if you missed that one, you need to get it off the internet. It'll be on the internet. And why do the heathen rage? And how we live in the day of the heathen raging, you know. And we talked about that. Well, this week, as David the writer, God's the writer, but God inspired David through his life events to write these things. Because later on, Paul says everything that happens to us happens for us, to us, so that we might minister to others, because he ministers to us in these problems and in these situations. God ministers to us, not just so we can be ministered to, but so we can minister to other people who have these problems. And when God brings me through something, and I see it a lot in these Psalms, when God does something for me, I want to share it. We've seen that the little song in Vacation Bible School and Awana and stuff, you know, about you don't want to hide your candle under a bush. And that's what people do. God will bless you. God will speak to you. God will bring you through something, and he'll say, now share this. He'll say, now, there's other people. You know somebody else is going through this. Now you share this. Instead, you go home and you hide it under that basket or whatever it is, you know. And you lose a blessing by not sharing it. Now, here's David sharing his experience with his own son. And I want you to see that. But let's just start there in Psalm chapter 3. And I'm not going to, I might as well. So let's just read the whole chapter, Psalm chapter 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You ever felt like that? You ever been attacked? You have. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, that means just pause right and think about that. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. Well, how could he do that? Because he knew the Lord heard him. I awaked. That means I made it through the night. They didn't get me. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord sustained me. I want you to think about that. The Lord sustained me. Now let's put it in context. Here's David, the greatest king of Israel. God loved David in a special way. Somebody asked me one day, did God have favorites? Well, he did. God had favorites. And he treated some people differently than he did others. And he does this day. Of course, he's going to treat an obedient believer differently than he will treat a disobedient believer, though people don't want to hear that anymore. And David was running from his own son, Absalom. Absalom has grew up spoiled rotten, not like David. He's one of his many sons. And Absalom has grown up spoiled rotten. Absalom became a politician. He did. Go read it. He went from gate to gate. He went all over Israel, not really preaching against his father, but saying, I'd do better than that. I'd do that different. Vote for me, I'll set you free. You know. And he'd been all over Israel, sneakily, behind the scenes. David didn't know what he was doing. And then somebody told David, and David didn't really pay it much attention. But now Absalom has turned a lot of people against David. And Absalom says he ought to be on the throne. So these people are trying to help him get on the throne. And so David's people, his soldiers, his leaders, his people were saying, well, let's fight him. We can kill him. You're the greatest man in Israel. You're you're a man after God's own heart. And God will take care of you. You can kill him. You can win this battle. And David said, I'm not going to fight my son. He said, this might be God's will. It might be God's will. And so David leaves. And as he's leaving, people are leaving with him. Men of war are leaving with him. Abishai, I think was his name. He's running up on the wall cussing David and throwing rocks at him and all this stuff. And by the way, go read about him. David had rescued that man. And later on, when David does come back in victory, the man comes and apologizes to him. And David's people said, let me cut his head off right here. And David said, no, that might be God's will that he was doing that. So David's fleeing and David's running. And look, David's living in caves, and he's even gone to other nations, the Philistines, and lived with them and fought for them in order not to kill his son. And these wicked men have hooked up with his son, and they've encouraged his son, and they hate David, and they want David dead. And let me tell you something. David lay down in verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. In other words, boy, don't look down. You hold your head up. Hold your head up, son. And lift her up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Amen. And because of that, David said, I laid me down and slept. Now let me tell you something. That's faith. That's faith. Now, I preached this morning, you know, on taking risk. Well, David's taking a risk just stopping and laying down to sleep. He's taking a risk. But he's prayed to God, and he asked God to take care of him. And then he had enough faith in God because God had done so much for him before that he just believes God is going to take care of him. Now, that's the picture. That's the way it is. He said, I could not have lived through it all had God not provided what I needed, he said in verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I waked, and the Lord sustained me. The Lord gave me what I needed. The Lord protected me. The Lord guided me. The Lord sustained me. Do you see that word? Sustenance. That's what you have to eat to live, right? And sustenance. He's saying God has given, in the midst of all this trouble and all, can you imagine how heartbreaking it would be to have your own son want you dead? And willing to pay people to kill you? And hunt you down like a wild dog? And take your kingdom, all the hard things you'd had to do all your life to build up that kingdom, and now his heart's broken. He's disappointed in his son. And now he's running from the people who used to call him Lord and King. And he's disappointed in those people. And he's heartbroken over those people. Those people that probably at one time said, I'll die for you. By the way, that's about what happens to a pastor a lot of times. People come in, man, they'll come in here and they'll say, man, you're the greatest preacher in town. You're the greatest pastor that's ever been, all this stuff. We're here for you. We're going to be here. And if anybody says anything about you, we're just going to chop their head off. And then you look over there a couple of years later and they're holding a sword to chop your head off. Amen. But David said, I cried to the Lord. I went to him. I didn't have a committee meeting. I didn't call a board together. I didn't have a vote of confidence. There was a preacher, a friend of mine, who used to pastor up the road here, a Baptist preacher, and he got mad at his people. He got mad at them. Because there was a couple, you know, bad-mouthing people in there talking about him and stuff. And he just walked in one Sunday and said, I want a vote of confidence. And I thought to myself, well, that wasn't really a good time to ask for that vote. Not when people's attacking you, amen? I'd ask that when everybody was happy. Matter of fact, I wouldn't ask it in the first place. I'd say, you voted me in. Now, if you want me out, vote me out. I'm not going to ask you for your confidence. You gave that to me when you voted me in. Now, if I don't have it anymore, vote me out. But don't just stand here and argue back and forth, talk about how sorry I am. I already know that. But he didn't do that. He didn't get on the telephone and try to get people to agree with him. He just saw the position he was in. He fled thinking it was God's will that he was being chastened for his sins. And then when he fled, he didn't want to kill his son. He didn't want to fight back. He didn't want to kill the people that he loved and had really raised through the years and put them in positions of power. So he flees, and then he finally gets where he can stop. And he says in verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He knew God was still going to answer his prayers. Let me tell you something. Don't matter how bad it gets, he'll still hear your prayers. And then he said, in the last part of verse 5, after he lay down and slept, he said, I woke up, I wake, for the Lord sustained me. Now, I want to talk to you. I see four things in this, and we'll go home. And I guarantee you, if you got peanut butter and banana, you can get you a peanut butter and banana sandwich and a big old glass of cold milk and eat like King David. And if you got honey at the house, pour a little bit of honey on there. It'll help it even more. Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. But I want you to see this. Look, number one, David had a problem. His kingdom was divided. His son was the rebel. You ever had a problem? Job said man's days are few and full of trouble. Let me tell you something. Everybody has problems. I don't care what their income is or is not. I don't care what their education is or is not. I don't care what their standing in the community is or is not. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're black, white, polka-dotted, striped, orange. Everybody has problems. Lost people have problems. Saved people have problems. People that's right with God has problems. Backsliders have problems. Everybody has problems, and sometimes big problems. Big problems. Now, if you've never had a big problem, you're probably about 6 years old. Amen. I thought when I got older, Brother Fortson, I thought, man, when I get old, me and my wife, we can retire. I can put on my Bermuda breeches and my flip-flops and my straw Panama hat, and we can sail into the just breeze. You know, we can just won't have no more problems. The kids will be gone. They'll be grown and supporting themselves. And their husbands will be taking care of them. And I have grandchildren, and the only time I'll see them is when they come over and let me spoil them every once in a while, and then I send them home to get a whipping. I won't have all these work problems, and my wife won't have all these school problems. And you know what? I found out the older I get, the more complicated it gets. I've got more problems now than I did when I was 25 years old. Amen? If you ain't got problems, that means somebody else is taking care of you. Amen? And that may be a problem there. Some people's too old to be taken care of, and they got a problem. Amen? And you ever seen that new commercial? They talking about insurance. This man and woman sitting there on a stool and their grown son sitting beside them, you know, and they're talking about saving money on their car insurance, you know. Y'all seen this one? And the woman said, I thought when we got older we'd retire, we'd save up our money and retire, you know, we could do this, we could do that. Said, but I don't know if we're ever going to get and the boy says, wait a minute. I'm going to be a computer game programmer. I'm going to be big. I'm going to hit it rich. And they said something about him living in the basement, you know. And then that man looked at that woman and said, we ain't never going to get retired. We're going to keep up this bum all his life. She should have looked at him and said, we raised you to leave, boy. Amen. Don't stay down here. Let me tell you something. We all have problems. But now listen, some problems are worse than others. But you, as long as you live in this world, you'll have problems. And here's something else too. Many of our problems we bring on ourselves.
Amen.
Do we really think this boy was raised right? Let's be honest. Do we really think this boy was raised in the will of God the way David knew he should have been raised? But that's why God had forbid David and Solomon not to marry foreign wives, and they did it anyway. And they had these boys, and they started raising them in that foreign way that was not godly, heathen way that was not godly. And here's one of them that turned out wrong. Did you know a lot of times our problems are just chastening from the Lord for our sin? That's all it is. He said he loveth every son whom he receiveth. He chasteneth. He chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. Amen. And he said your earthly father loved you, and he chastened you. Don't you think your heavenly father chastened you? He loves you more. Amen. So sometimes my problems are my fault. I don't blame people for my problems. I don't say, well, Lord, it's that woman you give me. That's what Adam did. The Lord come down and hunted them, you know, couldn't find them. He said, Adam, where you at? He said, I'm over here hiding. He said, what you hiding from? He said, well, we ate at that tree, and I got this little apron on. And he said, why'd you do that? He said, Lord, that woman you give me did that. And it's been like that ever since. Ain't that right, fellas?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We talk bad about Adam. Amen. No, it ain't. Hey, no, it ain't. The problem is you. Look in the mirror. I preached a sermon one time. I think it was a homecoming or something. I knew we was going to have a big crowd. And I went up to a Dollar Tree or Dollar General somewhere. And they had these little tiny mirrors. And on the back of them was like a little advertisement. But it's something you would put in your shaving kit. It's about that big. And so I got hundreds of those mirrors. And I wrapped them up in a piece of paper. And I told the ushers, hand these out and tell them not to open it till I tell everybody to open it. So I preached on your biggest problem. And I said, now the ushers gave everybody here something. Do you have it? And they all said, yeah. I said, open that up. And they opened it up. And I said, meet your biggest problem. Amen? Now let me tell you something. Usually that's the problem we're being chastened of the Lord. Ain't that right? But I'm glad he does it.
Yes.
I'd rather him chasing me than abandon me or cast me off. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I could preach on that one all night. Just listen to the term he used. The Lord sustained me. The Lord kept it all together. The Lord took care of him. He did not feel like that he was alone and that God had deserted him. But he felt like God was going to take care of him in spite of the problem. I like Sister Shirley Barnes. I hope she's watching. I went over and sat with her Thursday, and you know they wouldn't let me come in the hospital and prep her, you know. So I did it on the front porch, and we had a wonderful time. And she kept saying, "Preacher, I'm not worried about it. Lord's going to take care of me." And she said, "He's always taking care of me." And Sister Hazel, of all the people with all the bad health and the grandchildren and the in-laws and the outlaws and a husband that's got COPD and 10 living in the backyard and 15 in the house and she's cooking and cleaning and hollering and whooping and everything else. But she'll go to the doctor, you know, she's had cancer and had surgeries and got all these health problems. And every time, that she has to take her husband to the doctor and the doctor's told him three times he's going to die and called in hospice, called me in, we prayed over him, Lord healed him. And every time she'll say, "I ain't worried about it, preacher, the Lord's got this." That's her term. The Lord's got this. Now, I don't know where that's in the Bible, but if you wanted to revise a Bible, would you please put that in there? The Lord's got this. Amen. I'm sure it's in there in other words, and here they are. The Lord sustained me.
That's right.
There ain't nothing that comes to me that didn't go through his hand first. Amen.
Amen.
You ever thought about this? I used to work machine shop. I've done just about everything. And I was going to Bible college and working at this machine shop. And they had a drill press that I was having to run that day to drill some parts. We made the heavy vehicle brakes, the big tractor, trailer, truck brakes. That don't scare y'all that I was involved in that? But that fixture was backwards. They had put the fixture, they made it left, right-handed. Yeah, they made it right-handed to hold the fixture in place while you drilled it. So I had to hold the fixture in place and reach around the drill press and grab the handle and turn it. And you know, it's got that spinning part that the drill press comes out of. And we had to wear rubber gloves. And so after about 100 pieces, I get slack. And as I reach around to grab it, it grabs my glove and it grabs my hand and it's going this way. So it takes my hand all the way around that spindle and I jerk it back and the glove comes off, rips it off. And I look down there and that finger right there is broken right there and it's turned upside down and that fingernail's laying right there. That finger on the fingernail laying right there. And this finger right here has been pulled out of joint. It's upside down. The fingernail's down here. It looked unreal, you know, but it didn't hurt that moment. It's always that way. It didn't hurt at that moment. And I showed it my boss man. He got white in the face like he's going to pass out, you know. But ever since that thing got well, that's the only broken bone I ever had right there. Ever since it got well, I can't hold small change in that hand. It'll fall. I can't hold pills in that hand. It'll fall through that because my little finger doesn't work as good as it used to. Right? So I think of that as the Lord taking care of me. Everything that comes out of me, that little junk that don't mean a whole lot, the Lord just lets it fall through the bottom.
Amen.
I thought that was a good example myself. I was going to send that to the sword of the Lord. I thought maybe they'd use that. But anyway, it didn't go off that good. But that's the way he does. He'll hold that. Look, whatever it is, sister, you're going through right now, he'll always leave that bottom open just enough to let the junk out, but you'll never fall out.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Go ahead, preacher. That's good preaching. Amen. Amen. That just hit me. Sometimes I feel like Biden, but every once in a while I get a clear thought. Amen. Amen. David's problem, his son was his problem, his sin was his problem, and his situation was his problem. But I want you to look at this, verse 3 and 4. He says, I prayed. He says, I pray. Could it be that his son's rebellion, which was the main problem, was happening to drive him back to his knees? Could that be? I believe it could be. That the problem of his son was not the real problem. The real problem was he had not been in touch with God like God wanted him to be in touch with. Sister Joyce, you know some people don't pray unless they're in trouble. That's the truth. Some people do not pray unless they're in trouble. And the first thing they say is, oh Lord. Don't you see David in that? The man's living in the biggest house. He's got the biggest income. He's got the biggest stables. He's got the biggest horses. He's got the biggest bank account. He's got the biggest servants and all this stuff. And maybe he just hadn't been praying like he ought to. And God put him on his knees because of his problem. It drove him to prayer. I've been guilty of that. You ever been guilty of that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. My problems drive me to my knees. And it seems if I don't spend enough time on my knees, I have more problems.
How about that?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And then I notice this in verse 5 and 6. He says, I laid me down and slept. The Lord sustained me. In verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, he had a problem, so he went into prayer and he got peace.
Yes.
Amen.
He got peace.
Yes.
He said, I don't care. That army may be after me. My son may have turned his back on me and turned everybody against me, and the army may be against me, but I don't care if they come with 10,000 army.
Amen.
I'm not going to be afraid. Now, there's another verse that says, I'll not be afraid as long as I trust in Him. Now, listen to me. Before I was saved, I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. I was afraid of what people would do to me. I was afraid of what people thought about me or said about me, you know. Growing up, I lived in a constant state of fear as a child, you know. But the day I got saved, He removed my fear. He removed the fear. Now, since I've been saved by the grace of God, I'm just like the psalmist said, I don't fear what man can do to me anymore. I don't fear what man can do to me. I fear no man. And I fear some women, but I don't, but I don't fear no man, no man, no man. You say, aren't you afraid that the Islamists are going to hear you preaching like this and find out where you live and come burn down your house? No, that doesn't bother me at all. We slept with the windows open last night. And that's not being sinfully proud. That's just telling you, I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. You need to get you a gun. You need to get you a big gun. I got a big gun. He's called God. Listen, if we pray right, we will get the peace of God. And that peace passes all understanding. I cannot explain that peace. You get to talking to lost people or carnal Christians, and you get to talking to them about the peace you have with God and your lack of fear, and they cannot understand that. Well, how can you be that way? The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I said, yeah, but I'm not worried about it. But aren't you afraid? No. Well, what if they come after you? Well, the worst thing you can do to me is kill me and I'll go to heaven. Hallelujah, anyhow. You can't threaten me with heaven. Now, don't hurt me. I don't like pain. I'm not scared of it. I just don't like it, okay? That's why men don't have babies. A man couldn't take the pain that a woman can take. That's why they ain't scared of us men. Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible. I'm going to preach it. Amen. But he got the peace of God. Why? He's had a big problem. But wait a minute. He prayed a big prayer. And then God gave him a big peace. Anytime you're in trouble or time of trouble, the old devil will rob your peace. He'll take your peace away from you. Especially when we have sin in our life. You ever notice this, Brother Michael? My wife gave me this analogy. She said, you know, one of those, the old devil, he'll get up on this shoulder and he'll tempt you. He'll say, go ahead. Go ahead. Nobody's going to know it. This is going to be good. Go ahead. And then you fall for it. Now he's sitting over here on this shoulder. He's saying, nah, 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 nah. Everybody's going to know it. I'm going to tell them. That hypocrite. Amen. But when you, hey, look, after your trouble, in the middle of your trouble, you pray and you seek God and he'll give you the peace. He said that. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Now I'm going to shock you and I'm through. America is not a majority Christian nation. I'm going to shock you again. It never has been. Now I didn't say Christian influenced. And I didn't say Judeo-Christian influence. America has been heavily influenced by believers. And it's also been influenced by those who think they are believers. Church people. It's been heavily influenced by that. That's why America's been such a great country. It's always been great. Because of the influence of Christian people. But I've got news for you. There's 10,000s of them out there right now that don't like you. If you are born again, Bible-believing Christian, there's 10,000s of people out there that would rather see you dead than to be in this country. Oh, preacher, that's me. No, that's truth. And a lot of them's religious people. A lot of them are. So don't think that when you get in trouble, all these Christians going to come rescue you. They're not going to do it. The ones you know ain't even coming most of the time. But if you, hey look, if you'll see the problem, admit it and pray about it, you can lay down your head and sleep, he said in verse 5. And you can wake back up realizing that God has sustained you and has never left you and never forsaken you and never failed you. And you will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against me round about. Now look at verse 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheek. We used to call that in Lancaster, south side of Lancaster, we call that a jack slap. Jack slap. And thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Amen. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon who? Thy people. Now, he's had a problem. It's driven him to prayer. He's received the peace of God. He knows that God has sustained him and kept him. And now he knows that God is protecting him. See, I don't have to be tough. I got a tough God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Now I wouldn't want to make Brother Michael over here mad at me. He's got arms of steel. That boy goes to the gym. His head's pretty hard too, but I wasn't going to talk about that. But he's got arms of steel. The man's got steel arms. If I was going to mess with somebody, I'd jump on Jerry because up under his arm, it just flabs right there, you know. You're right. I'd jump on Brother Danny. He ain't got a muscle in his body since he left the Marines. He's ruined. That's why he has to carry a gun. That's why he has to carry a gun. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not fighting. The fight's the Lord's. I don't have to fight. He fights my battles for me. He's come to my rescue many a time when I had a problem and I dropped in prayer and he gave me the peace of God and then he protected me. I used to have this black man from, he was down around James Island in my church. He spoke that Geechee type stuff. I couldn't understand half what he said. But he loved me. He called me Pastor. Pastor, Pastor. And he meant pastor. He wasn't really saying I was a pastor. He meant pastor. And he loved me. He loved me. And he told me one time, he said, there's these three guys talking about coming over and jumping on you. He said, I told him, you better watch out. That old man's been around. He might surprise you and jump on you and whip you. He said, you better leave that old preacher alone. And they never did come. You know what that was? That was God protecting me. That man talked them out of jumping on me. Y'all ain't never had nothing like that happen to you. You ain't been saved long. But here's the point. I have problems. Sometimes my own fault. I go to the Lord in prayer. He gives me the peace that he's never left me and forsook me and he's not going to leave me now. And then he says, not only that, I'm going to protect you because my salvation, verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Now he's promised to save me and to keep me and present me faultless. And he hath and he doth and he yet will deliver me. And I don't fear what man can do to me, but I do fear what God might do. But when he does it, he's going to do it for a good thing to drive me to my knees that I'll get my peace back and he'll protect me. Now that's the Bible. What you going to do with it? Well, Tom Malone used to say, I think he heard Tom Malone preach, that big old preacher, big old church up there. He said, now that's the Bible. What are you going to do with it? I mean, preach like, everybody preach. I loved him. He's in heaven now. But you know what we all do with it? We'll hold it up and say, thank you, Jesus. That I can read that. I'm not by myself. I don't have to worry about this stuff. You will take care of me. And the reason I know it is you wrote it in the book. Now, if you're not saved, it doesn't apply to you. None of it. Because, see, you don't belong to him. Only saved people belong to him. There's two families on planet Earth. God's family and devil's family. God's kingdom, the devil's kingdom. He even pointed at people one time and said, you are of your father, the devil. Let me tell you something. God doesn't whip the devil's children. God doesn't chase the devil's children. They don't belong to him. You ever been in a grocery store and wanted to whip some little old brat screaming and hollering, but you didn't do it because it wasn't yours. But God takes care of his children. So you know what, Sister Mary, I got peace. I ain't worried about it. Ron says that. Doctor tell him this, tell him that. He said, Doc, I ain't worried about it. God will take care of it. What about you? Let's stand.